Oh, good morning. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm in a time warp. Kind of feel like an hour faster than I was before yesterday. Did you see Tyreek Hill? Tyreek Hill ran a 60-meter dash, and he's, I don't know how old, but it's been 9 years since he hit track and field. This is a wide receiver from Miami Dolphins. He's one of the fastest. And this guy blew everybody away in that event. This is 9 years from the first time, last time that he ran. Quick. That's why I feel like today. Very fast. Only in my dreams. It's great to be here with you. We're going to start on a walk with Christ, what I call a journey to the cross. So we're going to. This is all the way up to Easter. So we're starting off in Matthew, and we're looking at one of the more pivotal points in Scripture right here with Jesus and his disciples. I don't know about you, but I like to plan. I like to plan events. I like to plan vacation. I like to plan, do lesson plans, you know, for teaching and things like that. You know, it's just something that's, you know, inbred in me. I just always like to do that. Always like to, when I was littler, I always used to line up my matchbox cars in particular lines and shapes and things like that. So that was kind of part of who I am. I like that part. Thing is, as the great philosopher Mike Tyson once said, it says, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So he's right, because we have plans, and plenty of them, a lot of us do. The thing is there are plans, and sometimes there's confusion, there's misunderstanding, there's, we don't have enough resources to carry them out. Or there's other forces that are stronger than us that don't allow us, like a big punch from Mike Tyson. So that's what we're up against. But I praise the Lord because, God has a plan. But I don't know what you see, but when I was in architecture, one of the big things is you had a blueprint. When you were finished, everything was right. You come up with those blueprints, and that's like, it's like the Bible. The Bible is our blueprint. The people who are following Christ, this is our blueprint. So we use those blueprints to cross sections. They show you all the dimensions. They give you the materials, all that stuff down to the little titty things. So when you were starting getting fused, you're arguing over something, and what was going on? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you always go back to the blueprint? Always go back to that blueprint. So in life, when we're facing trials or things just aren't, we're kind of not sure what's going on. We're feeling depressed, or, we're feeling, heartache. We're sick. We're having issues with relationships, with our jobs, our studies, whatever. Come back here. Come back to the blueprint that God gave us. He gave us His blueprint. It's called His salvation plan. And it can't be thwarted. It can be punched by many people over the centuries, but it continues on. The blueprint. And what he's saying in this part of this passage here in Matthew 16, he's saying, hey, I got the blueprint. I'm going to build my church. Here's my blueprint. I will reveal to you how to build my church. And he's going to give us three building blocks. First is faith, next is obedience, and other is submission. So we'll take a look at those today. One thing he does, he keeps on telling me, he says, stick to the plan. When you get all wobbly and you get a little confused or you get a little, disappointed or whatever, he just says, stick to the plan. Let's pray. Father God, we need you. And I pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to your message, to your word, that your Holy Spirit will move amongst us. Father, whether we know you for years or we're just getting to know you or just trying to get to know you, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will move in such a way that you'll just really just cause us to understand more and more about who you are, to grow in that grace and that knowledge of who you are, that will impact our very lives, the way we think, how we act, our own attitudes, our own words. All that will be transformed because of your great love, because your power, your word is the power unto salvation, this gospel message, this great salvation plan that you have for us. So open our ears and our hearts. Speak through me, Lord Father. May you receive all the glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, I don't know about you. If you've ever been in one of my life groups, I usually like to do an icebreaker. You know, it's a game or a question or something like that. Or we just look at one another. Like we did the other night, one night, and what was it? I can't, Friday night, we're kind of looking, what do you want to do? I don't feel like anything. Things like that. I'm going, come on. You know, that type of stuff. Yeah. I'm not going to look in that direction, these people. I'll let God convict them. So icebreakers are there for a reason, though. They break the ice. You know, because when you start to ask questions, people get kind of defensive, right? Somebody says, what's your name? I don't know. You ask Cam, what's your name? Something like that. Where is Cam? He ran away on me. You know, so instead of being so direct, you give a little icebreaker, and this is what Jesus did there in chapter 16. He's going, well, they're at Caesarea Philippi there in that region. I guess it's supposed to be a beautiful area. It sounds like they're taking a little vacation there. You know, he's going to be teaching them some, like I said, some pretty important things here. So he wanted to kind of get alone in a more quieter place, get away from the big crowds at this time. And he asked them, who do people say the Son of Man is? All right, he uses the Son of Man. And if you looked at Daniel chapter, I think it is 14, you'll figure out what the Son of Man is there. And just, he's really this awesome king coming. And he has dominion forever and ever. So when he says Son of Man, you know, some people think it's just kind of, it could be kind of a regular thing. But I think when you really know the scriptures, he's really saying, I'm the one. I'm your king. I'm the anointed one. I'm the Messiah. So he uses that often. And here, he's saying, well, who do the people say? You know, the people say. So he's not, you know, directing that right at them. And so they'd give him lots of answers. You know, about him, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, some other prophets, and that's good. Oh, okay. You know, they go back to history, you know, because that's what you do. When you don't understand things, you don't quite understand who this person is or what's going on, you usually go back into history, don't you? You got to vet that person. Who is he? You got to vet them these days. We got to vet, right? We got to go back in their history. You got to get their clearances, see if they have any criminal records, you know, things like that. Or, you know, oh, do they have any diplomas? Did they graduate high school? Did they go to college? Or did they go to a tech school? Or did they become a print? You know, all these things. They go back to the history of that person. Well, that's what they're going back to. The people, you know, they don't know. They're going, what? He must be Jeremiah. He must be Elijah. He must be John the Baptist. Come to life again. Or some other guy. You know, so they're just kind of throwing it out. And then Jesus goes like this. He goes from the icebreaker now. He goes to the hot topic question. And this is the hottest topic question ever asked in the history of man. In the history of man. And then he says this. And you can feel, I can feel his heart in this. He says, what about you? 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 Who do you say I am? That's a pretty powerful question. Well, Peter, being Peter, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. A plus. Give that man some extra credit points. Wonderful. A confession of faith. First building block for the church is faith. Without it, you can't build his church. That confession of faith is powerful. It's heartfelt. It is, oh, stop right there. What did Jesus say? In verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Woo! All right. That changes some things, doesn't it? It's not coming from Peter's own humanness. It's inspired by the living God, by the power of his Holy Spirit. That confession came directly from Peter's opening heart and that grace salvation that happens in a mystery between the hearts of people and God, a holy God. And where it is what in Ephesians it says that we are what? We are saved by what? Grace. Through what? I mean, faith, right? It is not anything that we have done, but it is a gift so that no one can boast. See, if you're going to boast, God says, if you're going to boast, boast in me. Boast in Christ alone. So he didn't want us boasting about ourselves. See, if Peter, if he came up with this himself, he'd be going, cha-ting, A plus, diploma, I'm on the road, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. Yeah, that's me. I don't know about you. That's human. God saying, no, I give you this as a gift, this faith. Because this is a building block. And on this confession, I will build this church of mine. And on you, Peter, leader of these disciples, because of how God has gifted him, I will build my church. Sometimes, a lot of people say, well, it has to be this or that. I'm saying, why not both? You know, maybe I got to study a little bit more. But I feel that God is empowering Peter to build a church that is solid and strong, a church that will go and do what it's purposed to do, and that is to bring the gospel of Christ, the good news of what he has done for mankind to all the world. But before we go on further, there's a little hiccup. Because anything to do with man, there's confusion all the time. There's misunderstanding because we are ignorant. We don't know everything, though we might pretend to be. All right? And if you look at that word Messiah that Peter rang out, well, in his thoughts, in those times back then, And the last days of the Old Testament period, they were thinking a little bit different about the Messiah. See, because they were thinking more political Messiah, a political king or a national king, a Jewish king that will come and enable by the power of God to destroy their enemies and set up their kingdom so they can have sovereignty and to get rid of the Roman Empire. That's the Messiah to them. Okay, that's what they thought. So when they thought Messiah, they're thinking king, defeating enemy, and giving us sovereignty. But Jesus is going, whoa, let me clarify. Let's get the blueprint. Let's get the blueprint out, Peter. Let me show you what the Messiah really is. Then you go into Isaiah, and I'll read a little bit of that. If you want the full story, you got to start in chapter 52 at verse 13 and go through all of chapter 53 to understand what the Messiah is, the purpose of the Messiah and who he is. Here, I'm going to just start in verse 4 in chapter 53. It says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That means sin, right? The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his day. The offspring is all those who believe in him. Yeah. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. See, in Peter's mind, the Messiah, suffering and rejection just does not compute. It is not on his radar of his Messiah. But Jesus is saying, blueprint, let's look, Peter. Messiah is here to suffer and be rejected, so he can go to the cross and die for us, take all of our sins away, and then be raised again on the third day. And then, when time is right, he'll come back again as this mighty king who will set everything straight. And that's what we're waiting for now, in this dispensation. But he had to clarify that for Peter, because, listen, look at what happened there in verse 21, because he's talking there. Verse 20 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised alive. So, you know, this is going right along with Isaiah, yeah? And Peter's going, no way! Yeah. Never, Lord! This shall never happen to you! And there's where he's at. That's why Jesus had to clarify. He said, oop, get the blueprint out. Get the blueprint out, Peter. Stick to the plan, Peter. Stick to the plan. And that's what he asks us. When we're all confused and things just aren't mapping out the way we're thinking it should be, God's not acting the way, doing the things that we expect him to do, and we get all mad at him, we get all disappointed with him, we go run away from him, we go blame him, we go talk bad about him, we go use his name in improper ways. And so we start setting idols up in our lives because God's not good enough for us. He's not sufficient for us. Because I'm better than God. See, all that comes in. And then what he says, John, stick to the plan. It's right here. Here's the blueprint. Get into it and stick to the plan. And then next, you know, going back a little bit there, verse 18, the next building block is obedience. Faith is important. You got to start off with that, to believe that God actually exists, right? And walk with him by faith, by grace, you know, through grace, right? It says in verse 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Powerful. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. See, Jesus didn't use the name Messiah very often because he knew there was confusion there. That's why most times he said Son of Man. Or he let other people say who he was. He just kind of directed them or waited for them or asked questions or whatever. But here, he's calling Peter to obedience, to build my church. I give you the keys. Well, dads, moms, when you give the keys to your son or daughter for the first time, woo! Well, I don't know about Nate, but his dad is looking at him going, why did I do that? Right? That's some power. That's authority. Now he's on the roads. I'm scared. You'd be more scared if you saw me on the road. Don't look at me that way. But, you know, that's that power, that key. And people saying binding and loosing. I kind of go binding and loose, bind and loose, bind and loose. I say, I like open and close better for me. And just explain it. It explains in my heart better, you know. And to me, when I look at, like, I have that one thing here, scripture. Well, first of all, there's a great commission we're bound to as followers of Christ. Do you know the Great Commission? I'll turn to that. Just make sure I read it to you. It says this, and you know, he's with his disciples before he's going to ascend. This is after he resurrected from the dead, okay? Now he's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I got the keys. I got the keys of Hades, hell and Hades. I got it all. I got the key to everything. I got it all. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. No, not just one nation, not two. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Oh, yeah. That's a promise and empowerment. Given authority to go. To go. So when he went in Acts 2, if you looked at that, I'll look at that real quick for you. I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I think you can, I can read it a little bit here. But just that time when he was, Peter was showing obedience. See, he was sent. And, you know, this is after the Holy Spirit came upon them in fire at Pentecost. And now he's given the first sermon of the church that's being built. And in 36:41 and through 41, it says this. Therefore, let all, this is Peter's words, this is God speaking through Peter, all right? Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. See, now there's something working there, right? There's something, the Holy Spirit stirring people's hearts up. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, we're talking about that this morning, and it is a powerful gift. It is a complete, full, sufficient gift unto us that we must appropriate, like what Marilyn says. Take it. Take hold of it. It's mine. We're stamped by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're anointed by Him. We're blessed with these wonderful gifts of life. And the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Well, talking about loosing, he just loosed the kingdom of God on the people. He opened the door for the Jewish people from all over the world coming there at that time. He opened the kingdom of God to them, saying, come. Jesus saying, come. Join him. Be a part of what he is doing. Be a part of his church. And others who rejected that time, it's like the doors closed on them at that time. They were bound. Because their minds of disbelief, unbelief, or whatever, you know, did not allow them to enter. See, the gospel itself is what produces this loosing and this binding. There's also things that, you know, later on, you know, another time, talk about there's discipline in the church, stuff like that. There's also the casting out of demons. There's the binding of there, the rebuking, the casting out. But I really believe it's mainly focused upon the Word of God, the gospel message going out. Where 3,000 come in, and how many other thousands said no? But hope maybe later on, maybe some of those still, you know, there are more hearts opening by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That faith, right? That faith. So it's a deeper subject, but I don't want to spend too much long. But the main thing is, when things are getting confused, you what? Stick to the plan. Here's the plan. God's plan. This is the salvation plan. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, God's salvation plan for us. And the last building block is submission. See, the first two, faith, oh, that's a gift. Oh, I'll receive it. Yeah, good, 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 good. Obedience, okay, it's more like effort and things like that, but really, obedience is really empowered by the Spirit. But when you come down to submission, that's where most of us fall because we're prideful. I know. No, I'm not prideful. Yes, you are, because I know you, because I know myself. I know how prideful I am, and I like to hold on to it. This is mine. Don't you touch it. You touched it. Oh, now I'm mad. Right? That's the way I get. That's the way I get. Don knows. So, you know what the most important thing is with that? You look at the book of the first letter of John, the first John, not the Gospel of John, but first John. It tells you what we've been learning in our youth group. Get real with yourself. Get real with your sin. Be honest that you are a sinner. Be honest. Just come out and just, and then fall down, submit, you know, become less. You know, what he's talking about, he's, you know, back here, it's going there in verse 24, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Well, that's not easy. Because what you're really saying is this: I'm going to die for you, Jesus. I'm willing to die for you. Because everything I have that is good is yours. You're giving it to me. You are my life. Christ in me. My life is gone. You know, that water baptism, you know, when you go down, you're dead. You're showing people you died. That old life, that old John is dead. When you're raised up, there's that symbolism of resurrection, new life, transformation in the Holy Spirit. You are in Christ. I am in Christ. Forevermore. Not the same. Submitting. You know, it's tough for whoever wants to save their life. I do. Oh, you'll lose it. Oh, man. Yeah. I know about that too. You go, you build up your, you're building your own kingdom. He says, build my church. I say, wait, God, I got to build my kingdom first. And God's saying, no, son, daughter, that's not it. Build my kingdom. And then I will receive you into my kingdom for eternity. Submit. All this, you know, whatever good is for someone to, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone exchange, give in exchange for their soul? So, Jesus is looking at each one of us today saying, well, who do you say I am? Because if I am truly the Savior of the world and I'm your Savior, then submit your life to me. Stop playing games. Get real. Don't build your kingdom because it's going to fall. One day it will fall. But his kingdom goes on forever. Remember this guy? I mean, stick to the plan here. But remember this. Oops, did I miss something? I think I missed it. Did I miss? Ah, remember that? Last week we're talking about Lazarus and a rich man. Well, he was a beggar. Now, why he was a beggar, we don't know how what situation he got in. But one thing he did have that the rich man did not have, he had Jesus in his heart. Through all the struggles and the craziness of the world and its oppression and all that stuff, he had Jesus. He submitted his life to Jesus. He gave it to Jesus. He ended up in heaven. And that was that song that sometimes we sing. It says, I was a beggar. Now I'm royalty. He became royalty for eternity. A beggar for a short while, 30, 40, 50 years, 70 years, whatever. Royalty for eternity. The rich man had the opposite. See, he had riches and all that good stuff and all that stuff for 70 years or whatever it was. And now he's in eternity in hell, in agony. Submit. When you find yourself holding on things too strongly, your focus is in this world and this, you know, this vertical world of our, I mean, a horizontal viewpoint of ours. No. Stop yourself. Get the blueprint out. Start reading it. Start praying through it. Stick to the plan. Because to build my church, what does it take? It takes that faith. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the time. Today is now. Today. No reason to put it off. All I have to do is get real with God, with your sin. Ask for forgiveness and invite him into your heart. And I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit will come. If he knows your heart is truly sincere, and he knows that, and he will empower the change, and you will follow him in the obedience part. Being those who share the good news with others. And then the submitting part, just giving our lives to him, being willing to to lose it for him so he can use us to be a blessing to the people around us. And there's a rich reward, like Lazarus found out. There's a rich reward that he has for those. You know, Son of Man is going to come. He's talking about the second coming when he comes back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Son of Man is to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. The reward is there for us. I believe the more we lose, the more we gain in heaven. I think there's just something about that. I don't know what it looks like in each one of our lives. I don't know. That you got to get with God. Get in a blueprint and let him shape your life. Teach us anew. And that trans, you know, just the power of who he is. Let me read real quickly to finish here in 2 and 1 Peter. It's a powerful scripture. It kind of sews up everything, brings it all together there in chapter 2. I'll read there. It says, as you come to him, the living stone is Jesus Christ, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also living stones, all those who are following Christ, are being built into a spiritual house. Build my church. We are the church. Built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Those who minister to others, who intercede for others who are lost, who are hurting, who need encouragement. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, laying down our lives, putting our own agendas aside, following Christ above all other things. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That stone is Christ. Now to you, who believe this stone is precious. I hope so. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, followers of Christ, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special people, his possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, you were just on your own, trying to do your own thing. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. What do we need to do in life? Stick to the plan. Build my church. Stick to the plan. Be faith, you know, in faith, in obedience, and in submission to Christ. Build my church. Let's pray. Lord, the riches of Christ, we can't even begin to measure it. Don't really grasp all of it. But Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit just move amongst us and open our hearts anew. Change us. Fire us up with your Holy Spirit so we can go forth and be these people who proclaim Christ in hope that many more will receive you and others will be bound. But Lord, there's always hope with you. While we're still living, there's always hope. And you're always at work. And you're always at work in our hearts. Those who are following you and those who reject you. You're always working. And so help us to persevere, being those who go and speak the good news of Christ to others, to pray for them, to encourage them, to love them. And Lord, we just trust that you will work your wonders in our hearts as we submit our lives to you to build your church, that many more will hear and many more will respond, just like these 3,000 on that day that Peter gave that sermon. Lord, we want to see 3,000, we want to see 30,000, we want to see 300,000, we want to see 3 million, 30 million, 300 million, billion people come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Remind us of these words to build your church and stick to your plan, not our own. Even when we get punched in the mouth, help us always go back to that blueprint of Christ that you have in your word for us, that we can be faithful church builders. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all this people say, amen. Amen.